Knowing how to speak and understand a new language can be an invaluable tool when traveling, meeting new friends, or just even to master a new skill. But it's not always simple when you're bogged down by textbooks and structure classes. That's why so many people trust Rosetta Stone. Rosetta Stone is the most trusted language learning program, available on desktop or as an app. It truly immerses you in the language you want to learn, like Spanish, French, Italian, Chinese, and more. You won't just be studying English translations. The Rosetta Stone intuitive process helps you pick up a language naturally, first with words, then phrases, then sentences. Don't put off learning that language. There's no better time than right now to get started. For a very limited time, listeners can get Rosetta Stone's lifetime membership for 50% off. Visit rosettastone.com/rs10. That's 50% off unlimited access to 25 language courses for the rest of your life. Redeem your 50% off at rosettastone.com/rs10 today.
Hello, 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 and welcome to episode number 125 of A Wild Podcast Has Appeared, your official Pokemon podcast for comicbook.com. That is different from our unofficial Pokemon podcast of comicbook.com. I never know why Jim says that. I don't get that.
I mean, you know why, because we know we do have the secret unofficial one. Has anyone actually found it yet?
You mean that one.
Wild, you know, the one that we don't actually talk about a lot.
Yes. You know, Pokemon After Dark, the saucy Pokemon podcast. My name is Christian Hoffer. I am one of the co-hosts here of this fine podcast, and I am joined almost as always by Megan Peters.
I'm here. Hello,
Megan.
Just the two of us, as always.
Yep. Basically, it is always just the two of us. We are never joined by a third co-host. He's you know, doing other things, our friend Jim. But that's okay, because really you're here to listen to me and Megan give good opinions about Pokemon, which we do every single week. For those of you who are listening for the first time, as the name suggests, this is a Pokemon podcast. We talk about all things Pokemon. That could be the Pokemon, the video games. That could be Pokemon, the anime. That could be Pokemon, the card game. That could be Pokemon, the plushes. That could be Pokemon, the spinoff game. That could be literally anything Pokemon related. Also, we talk a little bit about life, a little bit about love, a little bit about...
This is getting into some weird territory, all right? But hey, you know, we do talk about the tangents. You come for the Pokemon, but you stay for the tangents.
Exactly.
That's what you do here.
Exactly. I'm in a weird mood today, so we're just going to dive into things, because I got a feeling this is going to be a weird episode. First and foremost, Megan, it is almost October. You know what that means?
Spooky season.
It is almost spooky season. Listen, all I know is that I have a 15-foot giant skeleton that is waiting to emerge from its ancient eldritch tomb to go and terrorize my neighbors. Also,
wow, you dished out for your decorations this year.
I very much wish I had that giant 15-foot skeleton, but I'm pretty sure
one of my neighbors does have the giant 15-foot skeleton. It's like the one with the pumpkin head. If you guys have who are listening, look up like Home Depot giant Halloween skeletons. One of my neighbors has that. Definitely is like putting forth a challenge to me this year. So I went and I bought, if you go to the Pokemon Center, all the delicious, lovely Pokemon Halloween decorations. I bought the Gengar statue, which was very expensive. But you know what? I had to do it. I had to arise to the occasion. So I bought myself a giant, like 16-inch Gengar statue, and I'm going to figure out something to do with it.
This has nothing to do with Pokemon, but it is related to me, Christian Hoffer. There is a Halloween decoration that is a dragon that shoots out smoke. It's like one of those inflatable dragons, but it has like a mist machine built in. And it's like, never has something called to me so strongly. Like, I would just keep that thing like in my front yard year round.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, like the spooky season is every season, in my opinion.
Absolutely. But
in addition to it being spooky season, it is also the start, almost the start of a new month. And that means more Pokemon Go content. They gave us our first tease of what is coming out in October. Lot of stuff to go over. We are getting some mythical and legendary Pokemon appearing in 5-star raids. This includes Genesect holding a Dousedrive will be appearing from October 1st to October 12th. That's a new Pokemon, technically, but a new Pokemon form. Dousedrive, Genesect has never appeared in Pokemon Go. We're getting altered form Giratina. That's coming from October 12th to October 22nd. And finally, Darkrai, the Nightmare Pokemon, will be coming from October 22nd to November 5th. And Darkrai is getting a Sludge Bomb attack, which is the first time that we've gotten Sludge Bomb Darkrai. We're also getting the debut of a new Mega Evolution in Pokemon Go. Mega Absol is appearing for the first time. Some spooky spotlight hours, Drifloon, Ghastly, Gothita, who's, you know, Gothita's not a ghost Pokemon, but, you know, she is goth, so it fits in with the theme. And Murkrow is also coming up, which Murkrow is a crow with a witch hat, which, I mean, you don't get any much more spooky season
right?
than that.
Like, come on. Like, I'm so, like, I understand there's, like, some people have feelings about Gothita. They either love her or hate her. But as somebody who, like, as a smaller child, perennially traversed the mall when, like, full Hot Topic, belt buckles, studded clothes, trip pants. Like, Gothita calls to me in a way that few Pokemon ever have. So I always am happy when Gothita gets a little spotlight. She was, I will say, though, Gothita is a better goth than I ever was. I have to say.
There was somebody in my, somebody in college, when I went to college, who did the full on, like, you know, not like, you know, there were the usual goths, like the ones which you were pretty sure were vampires. There was this one girl, and she, you know, very distinctive because, you know, I went to a school which had 60,000 people. But she wore like the full on, like handmade, like dresses with the, you know, like the, you know, the corsets and stuff like that. Like the full blown, like handmade, like really elaborate, neat stuff. So like Victorian vampire. And Gothita Gothita's like fully evolved form always reminds me of her. For some reason, it just, you know, she was like a frequent, she frequented the bookshop that I worked at. So, you know, yes, I did go to a school with 60,000 students. It is the second or third largest school in the.
For me, I went to high school and my graduating class was 36 students. So.
Oh, wow. Yeah. Well, I mean,
we had two very different experiences.
This was college. So, you know,
college was still maybe about 200 people who graduated.
Okay. Yeah.
Very different. But you know what?
It's okay.
All I know is if we have Gothita, I'm just waiting for the generation of Pokemon where I get like the classic MySpace scene Pokemon. Like, we almost got that with like the Kiss 80s rock version, Galarian kind of regional variant. But that's more like 80s glam. I'm waiting for like full like scene MySpace Pokemon regional variant.
I feel that a regional Gothita would be like a Gyaru from Japan, like, you know, just the full-on like blonde hair, like bleach blonde hair, the weird makeup, that whole thing. Let's see here. What else are we getting? They obviously confirmed that we're getting a 15-day Halloween event in addition to the previously announced movie tie-in event, which we talked about in the past. We are getting to we're getting new costumed Pokemon. If you follow the leaks, I think that they've already leaked. We're also more likely than not going to get a Fan Stump. Due to the fact that, you know, Fantump, there's no S in there. Fantump, he's, you know, that little ghost child has appeared in the loading screen. So we're probably going to get Fantump. So lots of cool stuff coming to Pokemon Go in October. You know, I'll be honest, like I've kind of taken a break from Pokemon Go ever since, you know, the stuff that happened earlier this year, but I've slowly been diving back into it.
I always tend to get into it with October, and mainly because it is like just spooky season. A lot of my favorite Pokemon are, you know, elevated, or at least you have a better chance of finding them, especially if they're shinies. Even though I'm not much of a shiny person, just like the general spooky nature of things, I just tend to enjoy. This year, though, is going to be a little weird because I'm getting married on Halloween this year, because it's very on brand for me. And so I'm going to be like so busy in the next several weeks. So I'm going to have to like try to like make some dedicated Pokemon Go time. But, you know, we'll figure it out. I will say the venue I'm getting married at does have a Pokestop at it, so
nice.
I'm just gonna be getting ready and just Pokestopping at my wedding. I mean, come on, like, what else would you expect from me at this point?
I mean, what else would you do at a wedding? I mean,
right?
Exactly.
That was the same thing at my best friend's wedding before the pandemic began. Her wedding venue was a Pokestop, and she legitimately took my phone at one point because I wouldn't stop. And I was like the maid of honor, and she was like, I need your help. And I was like, hold on, just like 1 second. I got to make sure I'm keeping control of this gym. And you know what? She did not appreciate it. So that's me.
But in terms of things that your best friend might appreciate, have you seen the new Pokemon plush that got announced last week?
Yes, I did.
It is the biggest, chunkiest boy to ever hit the Pokemon Center. And it's coming in, coming to the United States, shockingly enough. So Arcanine. Yep, Arcanine is coming to the Pokemon Center. This is like a 59-inch long Arcanine. You know, they posted the picture of Arcanine, like, you know, with a model next to it. And since this was you know, they first posted it over, you know, these were the Japanese stock photos for it. So, you know, it was definitely somebody who was like the size of this plush. It was like, oh my god, this thing is massive, absolutely massive. The biggest, I mean, I would say it's the biggest cat plush that we've ever gotten.
It's,
but, you know,
huge.
It's
bigger than like the Snorlax sleeping bag or anything like that. So, I mean, it's huge.
The timing is really curious because, you know,
how much is it again?
It's like $400.
Yeah, that's what I thought. Well, I'm going to say, like, a lot of the bigger plushes that the Pokemon Center has been putting out recently, like the Piplup and stuff like that, like it's a pretty similar price point, but you're getting way more Pokemon for this plush than the others. Man, if I had disposable income and room in my dwelling space, I'd get it.
I mean, that's the thing. It's like, that's the size of a closet.
Legitimately
the size of a closet.
It is huge. Like, I mean, legitimately, if you're listening to this, like, take a pause, go look at how big this thing is. I mean, yes, Zenpai in the chat just said that's not a plush, that's furniture.
It's true.
It is. It's a chair. Like, you could sit in this. Like, it is huge.
I mean, with Arcanine, you now have like a full, you could do like a full like cat Pokemon room with your Gigantamax Meowth, your Snorlax. I'm just trying to get you to react. You're doing so good of just not saying anything.
I don't take that low-hanging fruit. I see it and I ignore it. Also, I tend to agree with you when we talk about cat Pokemon. So,
thank you.
You know, I'm not going to be over here throwing, you know, yellow flags in the field.
thank you. Yeah. Thank you. As long as Jim is not here, Arcanine is a cat Pokemon. I don't care. They just
weird
misnamed
tiger,
it.
Cat, something Pokemon. Either way, if I had room, I would have this.
Yeah.
I don't have room, nor do I have the disposable income. But you know what? If anybody listening to this does get this Arcanine plush, or rather furniture, please DM me with like size comparisons. Like, I need to know. I need to see.
Yeah.
It's crazy.
I think it weighs more than like all of my children combined.
Terrifying.
It is just huge. And, you know, absolutely love Pokemon in Excess. You know, it's a relatively quiet week this week for Pokemon talk. So there are a few people who, you know, one of these days I will write my treatise on why Arcanine was confirmed to be a cat Pokemon on comicbook.com. I've just been so slammed with other work, but one of these days it's coming, and my logic is irrefutable. So
this is the hill that Hoffer will die on.
The absolutely
is a cat.
This
just
is
accept it.
This is my Fortnite is the 2020 game of the year, like of 2021. Yes, anyways, bad. Moving on from, you know, the running gag that I will just bring up ad nauseum. There is a new Pokemon card set coming out in a few months. We already know this. This is not like a new story. However, we did get a first look at some of the alternate art Pokemon that come out. And we've been talking about these alternate art cards and just how amazing they look. And so, yes, we are talking about Fusion Strike. And I wanted to highlight a couple of these because I just died when I saw them. I did, you know, give them to our producer earlier. So hopefully we can get those up. We've got, give me a second. We've got a Greedent, the Greedent V, which is, it's got Greedent sitting on top of a fallen tree, and it looks like a bunch of Squovit are like pulling it. So that one has, it's amazing. And there's this one Squovit, which just has like the best looks on it. Let's see if we can get that up really quick. Maybe not.
I just pulled up a picture for myself of it. This it's just basically capitalism in a picture.
I know, right?
There's these little tiny squirrels just trying to make a living, trying to get a couple berries, and they're pushing this big old squirrel around. Adorable though.
So our producer Rich is working on it now. The hardest working person at comicbook.com. We've got that one. So he'll pull that one up. And the other one that I want up there it is.
There he is, our big chunky boy.
The middle one on the left side just has this look of like, screw all of this. It is amazing.
And also I want to know why on one side there's only two. What happened to that team? Where'd the other one go?
Like, I'm really curious exactly what is going on here. Like, are they pulling him? Are they just like trying to like, I mean, it looks like it. It looks like they are carrying this tree.
Yeah, it looks like that's like an Egyptian pharaoh, and those are the peasants, like, trying to pull him through the forest.
Just
like,
brilliant stuff. Absolutely brilliant stuff. The other one we've got is the Genesect V card, which shows Genesect doing something that I never thought we would see. And it actually looks like he is doing some... there it is. Yep, he's street dancing.
He is 900%.
Legitimately... street dancing. He is doing a full-on he is spinning on one of his shoulder points. Yeah, he's break dancing. He's got, and you can like, at first you can't tell what exactly is going on because the actual card abilities, you know, the reason why you get this card is on the bottom third, but you can see they actually have like a boom box like on the bottom. It's like, I don't know why this was like the art picture chosen, but like I've never related more to an alien invader from another planet more than I do right now.
I mean, Genesect's pretty great. Seeing this card makes me wonder, like, in the Pokemon universe, do they have like a version of the like So You Think You Can Dance, but like Pokemon edition? Like, it's not the trainers who are doing it. It's strictly the Pokemon. I feel like, as much as we make fun of him, Mr. Mime would be really good at like pop and lock.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. So. Like that, and like, you know, I feel like if Sudowoodo really wanted to go, as long as it was like a dry area and there was no water around, he would 100% be down to do that. You know, it is weird that the Pokemon contests Mm-hmm. You know, kind of going that. I feel like, especially with the rise in reality TV, like, you know, Pokemon came out in the, like, you know, mid-90s. You know, obviously reality TV shows were already a thing by then, you know, but, you know, they've really exploded in popularity, you know, both in Japan and in the United States since then. And so I'm always kind of surprised that they haven't, like, streamlined the Pokemon contest to, like, bring it more in line with modern sensibilities. You know, because right now it's they're kind of like weird, you know, like the idea of Pokemon contests.
Yeah, it seems very much more like a debutante pageant.
Yeah. Kind
of work, like, that you would see, like, you know, in the Southern United States, like, you know, beauty pageants, stuff like that. That's very much how it's translated, which is an interesting feeling, because I know pageants and contests like that are still, you know, pretty popular in Japan, not necessarily like the debutante aspect of it. And it's interesting because when you look at, like, reality television in Japan versus reality television, you know, in the United States and in the Western, you know, Western pop culture, zeitgeist and everything, it's two very different flavors. So I feel like Pokemon's just like, let's just stick with the traditional, because that's something everybody can kind of take a piece of and understand. But I really just want a specific, like, So You Think You Can Dance-esque spinoff for Pokemon, or alternatively, I want a Just Dance edition game that's just dancing Pokemon.
And
remixes of, like, Pokemon soundtracks.
I would
get down to that.
I really feel that if this rhythm game, like the rhythm game that they've incorporated into the super contests, like, take off in the
Diamond,
like, I think that is going to be, like, the reason why this game, like the Pokemon Diamond and Pearl remakes, like, stay popular. Like, you know, like, I definitely think that adding that to the games is what's going to make those stand out, because, you know, like, all the other remakes have had something a little, like, extra, like, to it, that's like, you remember it, like, you know, with Heart Gold and Soul Silver, there's the Pokemon following you, and that's, like, literally one of the most popular mechanics in the game. You know, for, you know, the Alpha Sapphire and Omega Ruby, we had the whole open, you know, the flying around, the open world, stuff. We had, the legendary Pokemon that, you know, you battled through Hoopa wormholes. You know, there was a lot of cool stuff. The Delta episode, you know, just a lot of, like, neat things that came out of that. And so when they first announced the Diamond and Pearl remakes, and there's like, oh, this is a faithful remake. I was like, oh, come on, really? Like, no one actually wants a straight remake of these games. We want a remastered version. We want something with some new stuff. And so we're getting some of that with the Grand Underground and these super, you know, these Pokemon contests. And, you know, but I really think the Pokemon contests are going to be what is doing it.
I'm so excited. And in the comments, you know, Pika Trainer 99, a couple others have said, you know, the addition that they're making in these remakes to the contest is going to have them, like, actually try to do them for the first time, which is, you know, exciting for me. But, you know, like, contests were usually the main goal for me. I would usually try to go as far as I could with contests before I gave any sort of thought to, like, getting to the Elite Four, the final trainers, finishing the story plot, because I loved the contest. That was just, like, my thing in every game. And so I'm very excited to see this addition, see kind of how it changes things. Like, I cannot stress how excited I am for the change with the super contests.
You know, so let me ask you this, Megan, because I'll be 100% honest. You know, I didn't, you know, I didn't age out of the Pokemon franchise, but I was told that I outgrew the Pokemon franchise when Sapphire and Ruby came out. So I never played Sapphire, Ruby, and Diamond and Pearl, or even Black and White when they first came out. You know, I went back and did those, like, as an adult. Did you feel, and this is just something that I've always been curious about, like, because you're a couple years younger than me, with these contests, do you feel like that was, like, inserted into the game to kind of appeal to a wider, like, demographic? Like, you know, like, you know, so, like, because I legitimately do not know this. Not know.
I absolutely feel like it, because when Sapphire and Ruby came out, I can't exactly remember what age I was, but I was in middle school. I was a younger a younger lady, you might say. And I, that was like when I was really kind of falling in love with Skitty, Vaporeon. I was really in love with baby Pokemon and younger Pokemon. And those are Pokemon that would tend to do well in, you know, the beauty pageants, the contests, you know, having those charm abilities, everything like that. Being able to like make the cutest team possible for me as like a 10, 11 year old was like the best thing ever. Like finally I felt validation playing Ruby, because like I would play obviously for the full story, and I would get, you know, do the legendaries, you know, get Groudon, get all, move through the story pieces and the elements and the final trainers. I would do that and I still enjoyed it, but strategy wasn't what I was interested in at that age. I just wanted Pokemon because I thought they were cute, but my cute Pokemon did nothing for me. Like I couldn't, they weren't useful in battle nine times out of 10. And so that I was kind of bummed, and I was like, well, I want to have Skitty on my team the entire game. And I couldn't do that realistically, but if I was focusing on contests, me and my Skitty in in Pokemon Ruby went the distance. Like I definitely feel like it was very much added for people my age to give a greater sense of, you know, expansiveness with what Pokemon can do in the universe. They don't just battle, you know, they can do other things. I feel like that was added, but I think it definitely had an appeal towards younger players and players who, you know, really were just in it because they were like, these Pokemon look cute and they look cool.
You know, I never really considered that. I'll be 100% honest. Like you brought up something that I have never thought about, what contests like add to like the Pokemon franchise. And that is because, you know, like we see that with Pokemon Go, you know, they simplified the battle mechanics down to the point where, you know, even with all the different formats they have, you have the raids, you have gym battles, you have, you know, Go Battle League, you know, Go, you know, the Great League, the Ultra League, and all this stuff, there are only so many Pokemon that are actually viable in that game. And you know, there are hundreds of Pokemon that are useless in Pokemon Go. Adding a contest feature to Pokemon Go would, like, you know, breathe like new life into a lot of those Pokemon.
Oh my God. If they added contest to Pokemon Go, you wouldn't see me ever again. I would just constantly be on my phone. Like when I tell people how much I love Pokemon contests, I think they're kind of just like, oh yeah, okay, like she likes them. No, they are my preference. I love them. And it just came at a point in my life with, I mean, Pokemon Ruby is my favorite game. That's the one. I think it's because of my Skitty in that game that I have such fond memories. But like contests just took the game to a new level for me as a girl who didn't quite get the strategy. Like my older brother, like I would see him playing and I'd be like, oh, that's so cool. Like, I wish I could do that. But like, it didn't just click with me at that age yet. But I knew, I thought XYZ Pokemons were so cute. And I thought the contest offered that same kind of tension and drama that, you know, the actual league offered at that point. And so that did, I will just always remember those fondly. And that same kind of, you know, feeling continued. I felt the same thing with Diamond and Pearl, Black and White, you know, any of the games that have offered contests, I have felt, you know, invigorated by, which is why when they announced that there was a rhythm section coming to this remake, I'm already a huge rhythm game person. Dance Dance Revolution, Just Dance, I mean, Donkey Konga. I loved those games. So like, yeah, I'm all for it. So I'm very excited. And I think it definitely opens the game up to a broader audience of people.
Awesome. Well, it is about time for us to pay for the show. So we're going to take a quick commercial break and then we will hop back on.
This episode is brought to you by Reese's Peanut Butter Cups. In breaking news, leading scientists worldwide are conducting experiments to determine if Reese's Peanut Butter Cups are the perfect combination of peanut butter and chocolate. However, it appears the study was inconclusive, as the scientists couldn't help but eat all the Reese's. Because when you want something sweet, you can't do better than Reese's. Find Reese's now at a store near you.
are back. Let's dive into some of the bigger news stories to come out this week. The first one is we got a new episode of Pokemon Evolutions this week, or last week, I suppose. So, Megan, why don't you tell us a bit about that?
Yeah, so this one caught me off guard. It kind of came out of nowhere. I was like, all right, forgot there was an episode coming out. So this one, we kind of go back to the Galar region. So we are focusing specifically on Lily, who is obviously a fan favorite for a lot of people who've played the Sun and Moon games, who've played or who have watched even the Sun and Moon anime. So we get to, you know, chill out with Lily. We get to see kind of her have you know, a more tense dialogue with her mother, as we know that their relationship is a little bit fraught, I feel like is a good word to say. But, you know, after, you know, her mom kind of like disappears and goes to the wormhole and is like, I'm going to be this like savior of like the Pokemon world, and doesn't quite realize what she's getting herself into. It is Lily who, you know, oh, guys. I have a big news.
Oh my goodness.
I ordered this recently. This is a Pokemon plush from 1998 that I wanted more than life itself when I was like five. And she's here. She's so big.
That is a chonky Pikachu.
I mean, this Pikachu. This is Tomy, and it's from 1998. I wanted this. I can't even tell you how bad I wanted this when I was a little kid. And now I have it. And it just arrived, and I just frantically texted my fiance, like, bring me my child. So, everyone, this is Pikachonk. Tell me where to put Pikachu in my background, and I'll try to find a place. But yeah, this is OG Pikachu. This is Fat Boy Pikachu. Oh my gosh, I am like obsessed right now. Anyways,
reminds me of the earliest episodes that we did when we had like a Detective Pikachu plush like in the studio, and like, you know, you would do an entire episode holding Detective Pikachu in your lap.
Oh, this is absolutely going to be me the whole time. But anyways, as talking about the Pokemon Evolutions episode, basically we get to see Lily kind of go back into the wormhole. I can never say Necrozma, however you want to say Necrozma. Necrozma, you know, comes out. Nebby evolves into Lunala. They fight. They fight again. They do plenty of fighting. And I feel like Lily ultimately gets her due done, because she gets to put forth the fight that the anime and the game never gave her.
Yeah. I did love, there was a couple things I loved about. First of all, this was one of the cooler legendary Pokemon fights that I have seen like anime.
Oh yeah.
It was really awesome. I thought it was like really top notch. I loved that it was a mix of you know, using moves and just like slamming each other into the countryside. I mean, it was you expected the legendary, a fight between two legendary Pokemon to like look like, you know. Like, I feel like with the anime sometimes, like the movies usually do a better job of it, but sometimes with like the anime episodes, the legendary Pokemon fights, and they've gotten better over time. Like Journeys has done a decent job of showing like legendary Pokemon are, you know, you don't F around with them. I feel like sometimes like the legendary Pokemon kind of get like, they feel a little underwhelming just because we go to that kind of like turn-based thing, and it feels weird. But, you know, this was a really cool fight scene. One of the cooler fight scenes we've seen. The other thing that cracked me up was, you know, the protagonist of Pokemon Moon, Selene, you know, appears in this multiple times, and her face is always obscured by her hat. She doesn't say a word. And it's just cracking me up because, I mean, one, you have to acknowledge, you know, Lily kind of is the main character of Pokemon Sun and Moon.
Yeah.
You know,
very much so, in my opinion,
more so than probably any other Pokemon game. Like, you know, usually like the NPCs like Lily are like supporting characters at best, but really Pokemon Sun and Moon is Lily's story, and you as the protagonist are just there to like help push her through. And it just cracked me up that the protagonist was like there. It's like, no.
Yeah.
More on Lily. More on Lily.
Well, yeah, like that's, I mean, playing the game, like you're always like, oh, yeah, Lily, Nebby, it's all going to work out. Then at the end, Lily's like, oh, well, you can take care of Nebby for now. Nebby has evolved into, you know, one or the other. And so like seeing Lily with Nebby and Lunala and having this, you know, big fight, the Necrozma, and then finally kind of having the evolution where like the you know, Lunala and Necrozma combined together to for the Dawn Wings form, I believe it's called. Mm-hmm. Like, that was the animation, one stellar. I mean, we knew that was going to be the case with Pokemon Evolutions. These mini series always deliver on that front, but it definitely pulled all the right emotional punches and giving Lily kind of that. The ending, I feel like Lily really deserved, like being able to take control of her own character and of her own journey and not, you know, at the end of the game, you know, pushing it on the protagonist. Like, obviously I understand why that happens in the game because, you know, you're the player.
Yeah.
But I feel like Lily was done such a disservice in that. And the Sun and Moon anime did what it could to rectify those mistakes. But I feel like Evolutions just basically redid everything.
Yeah.
And made her own like savior, basically, which was so nice for me. It was very much worth it.
Yeah, no, I did think that the Pokemon anime did a decent job with Lily. You know, mm-hmm. they gave her more to do. She felt like, you know, and I think that kind of reframing her as a, you know, member of Ash's class, as opposed to being like the primary person that you interact with, which, you know, that's how it is in the games, you know, because in the games, you know, Lily basically becomes, you know, time and time again, she keeps relying on you to do the things that she cannot. And, you know, that makes sense in the context of like you're the main character. But really, you know, it's a disservice to her story and it hurts her character growth. And, you know, like this was a really cool reframing of it where, you know, she was the one, you know, who like, you know, it's implied that she's the one who instigated Cosmome's mm-hmm. Evolution. She's the one, she's doing this to save her mother, and she's doing this despite what, you know, crazy stuff her mother said.
You know, her mother is it's an interesting situation. Yeah. I'll just say that it's a tense situation.
You know, so I really think that was a really cool moment, and it really righted a wrong in Pokemon canon, which I really appreciated. You know, it's mm-hmm. kind of like it kind of adds a little bit of something to the story of these games, kind of like how the last episode showed that Leon mm-hmm. had like PTSD, and you know. Yeah. Putting aside all my normal thoughts about Leon, we already had one tangent. We don't need to go on another one.
Yes.
You know, I do feel like showing that Leon, there were some consequences to Leon's actions. That was really mm-hmm. important. Like, you know, we could debate all day whether there were enough consequences, but
right.
I do think that, like, you know, showing that like Leon, you know, like nearly died, you know, like Leon had to fight like an Eldritch Horror from another dimension. Like, you know, like, and that plays on somebody.
It was more intense.
Yeah. Like
the game positioned.
Yeah. The game positioned, like Leon just like brushed it off. It was like, whoa, you know, let's have a awesome battle. Yeah. And it's like,
but in the anime, it was like, Leon was like, oh no. Oh god. Yeah. I love that take on that. And I believe the next episode, I mean, we're going down the region, so we'll have the Kalos region represented in the next episode. That episode is coming out October 7th. So we will have plenty. We'll have two episodes in October, aka the great spooky season. So we will have Kalos and Unova represented in Evolutions, which based on the first two episodes that have come out, like I'm game. I'm in it. It's been really good so far.
I am really excited to watch. I forget who the Team Flare bad guy like is. But I'm really excited to watch him try to start up a super weapon and, you know, try to blow up France. That's going to be awesome.
You know what? That'll be fun, I guess, for us to go in So, yeah. So if you haven't checked out the episode, please do. They have sub, dub. I mean, it is just watch the episodes. Watch Pokemon Evolution. If you want, it'll be over, you know, by the end of this year. So you can binge everything all at once. But it's so good. And yeah. Words do not describe.
Yeah, it's Lysander, by the way, is the Team Flare.
There we go.
You know, for some reason, I wanted to call him like Leonidas. I'm like, no, I'm pretty sure that's the dude from 300.
You know, wrong time period, wrong place in the world, but you know, sounds similar.
I knew it started with an L. Anyways, there you go. Our last topic before we get to the Poke Fact of the Week is Pokemon Unite released. You know, it came out to mobile last week. We talked a lot about it, but, you know, I did want to bring up one cool thing that kind of came out because they announced a balance patch. And, you know, the balance patch not only added some new items, it also made it a lot easier. It basically removed the main complaint of a lot of players in Pokemon Unite, namely mm-hmm. the pay to play stuff. You still need to grind in order to get your Pokemon fighters, or you have to buy them. But mm-hmm. the big complaint was with Pokemon Unite was that we had in order to upgrade your items, you need to do the battle pass or you need to buy the upgrade stuff or you really had to grind. Like there was no easy way of leveling up your items in a manageable fashion. So people who paid for that, you know, it was, you know, they had a distinct advantage because like held items actually give you like, you know, active buffs. With this, not only did they increase the level cap to level 30, they've also made it a lot easier to go and, you know, upgrade your held items to level 30, which, you know, I think, you know, was a necessary change to the game. Like, I don't mind buying, you know, I don't mind paying for, you know, Pokemon to like, you know, like new Pokemon fighters. Like, you know, this game's got to make money somehow. Mm-hmm. I did really have an issue with the whole like upgrading items and how that scheme worked. And so like changing that, I think, will make it a lot easier for everyone to like want to hop into this game. And you can do so without that big barrier where you feel the need to pay money in order to dive into it. So mm-hmm. I think that is, you know, something really cool that, you know, Pokemon Unite did. They actually listened to the fan base.
That's amazing what happens when you listen to the people who are, you know, propagating your game forward.
Exactly. And of course, you know, the other thing they announced this week was Mamoswine is coming to the game this Wednesday, the 29th. You know, so we are getting a new Pokemon. Mamoswine is coming in. He looks to be, I forget if we knew what role he's going to be in or not. Mm-hmm. Like, I don't think it's officially been announced, but he's definitely either an attacker or an all-rounder. Which, you know, you think like, oh, Mamoswine, that's a defense Pokemon. It's like, no, Mamoswine has had a bad defense in all the games. Like, that boy is there to stab things with its big tusks and do not much else. And that's exactly what he's doing in this. He looks to have a moveset that's based around charging and based around freezing as well. So, you know, if he hits you with an ice attack, you get frozen and then you're going to get pummeled to death.
There you go.
So
sweet and simple.
Yeah. Well, well, that's about it on Pokemon. We talked a lot about Pokemon Unite last week. So, you know, it's just more of an update. That was probably the biggest non-Pokemon Evolutions news story to come out this week. There was one other anime thing. I totally forgot about
this. Yeah, I was about to say. I was about to come in hot swift. I was about to say, you can't leave my man Ash out of this conversation.
Yeah, Ash is finally going to actually Mega Evolve a Pokemon.
Yeah, Ash, Mega Lucario. It's happening. It happened. It's a thing. He did it.
So
the boy did it.
So in one season, we get to see him Gigantamax, Z move, and Mega Evolve. That is
he's too powerful.
He really is. Do you think that we're gonna see something like Ash, like, you know, like I know you can't use these as combos in the games. Mm-hmm. Do you think we're gonna see him like combo, like, you know, like Gigantamax or Dynamax, excuse me, because Lucario doesn't change forms. Dynamax Lucario and then Mega Evolve Lucario. And that's how
if we don't. It's going to be such a loss for the anime. I mean, whatever. Canon, I don't care. I do not care. This is me not caring about whether or not it's possible in the games or if it will ever become possible. But I want it so bad. Just the idea of seeing that like as a final action type ordeal would be insane. But yeah. I mean, the main thing is, I mean, people have been waiting for Mega Lucario since X and Y. I mean, it's been a long time to have Ash bring this forward. And it's been such like a nice reckoning moment. I love how so far Pokemon Journeys has given so many of those moments to fans who've been sticking around with this the show for so long. It's been a really nice treat. I mean, one, seeing Mega Lucario, you know, for new fans, that's just cool. It was a cool way in which it was presented in the latest episode in Japan. But for people who have been watching consistently or at least been keeping up you know, through X and Y and just like, you know, waiting patiently all these years to see Ash, you know, Mega Evolve Lucario, like, that was great. Very happy with it. So no. He's getting too strong though.
It's gonna be I am curious. I mean, we've got a couple of years, you know, we have at least until the end of next year. To see what the anime is going to do. Like, obviously we're going to get a pretty big Leon fight you know, here at the end of the season. I mean, that is the natural buildup. I mean, he's fighting Cynthia. I feel like he's going to beat Cynthia, which is going to be just redonkulous.
If he doesn't beat Cynthia after the last several episodes of Pokemon Journey in Japan, I'm going to be a little bit like, what just happened? I mean, you might be just having like a really off day, but the way they've set it up, it sounds like Ash is going to win.
Yeah, which, hey, you know, our boy's finally getting his due. So
I know it only took 20 plus years.
Yeah, well, I remember. Yeah, it took
a long time.
I remember when X and Y, you know, did what they did. And, you know, that he should have won the Kalos Cup. Let's be real here. He had a 2-on-1 advantage with, you know, with his, you know, Goku Greninja like waiting in the wings. And it's like, that's just such a bunch of nonsense. And I remember how mad fans got about it, because I remember writing about it, like, you know, really early on. And then And then when we finally got, like, you know, when they were finally like setting up, like, okay, you know, here's Ash's championship run in Alola. No one believed that we were actually going to get.
Oh, yeah. When that information came out, I remember I messaged you and I was like, is this actually happening?
Yeah, I know.
Are we sure? Are we absolutely positive at the end of the episode he doesn't wake up from a dream or something like that? Like, I thought for sure we were getting punked, because like I mean, it had led up to it consistently, but we'd already been played once.
Yeah,
so it's nice now that on the, you know, tail end of him having, you know, become the Alola champion, that they haven't just retconned everything. I know that was a concern we had and most fans had ahead of before when Pokemon Journeys went live, and it's nice to see that, you know, these number of episodes in, it's been doing its best to stay true to how powerful, you know, Ash has become. It's not just like wiping things and swiping them under the rug. Like that has been very much appreciated, and it's felt very overdue. And so I'm excited, which, you know, that's fine. Also, I haven't had to worry about, you know, Go as of late. So that's been
it has been nice even Go's kind of like slotted into like a role that I think we all find to be a little bit more manageable. Like, it's a little annoying that it got all the you know, all the Kalos starters, or not Kalos. We've been bouncing around too much in this this episode. Galar starters, but even that's like, it's fine. Like, you know,
if they had to sacrifice Ash getting a Galar starter in order to give him the appropriate respect he has warranted as a trainer over the last whatever years, I can be okay with it. And it has done so. Yeah, was it a little disappointing? Okay, but we're still getting that traditional, you know, route of raising up starters through Go's perspective. Is it the same? No. Do I like it as much? Not really, but it is giving that storyline. And so yeah. I can be okay with it. So I'm curious to see what's going to happen as the show keeps going forward, because there's still quite a bit for the two of them to do. So
yeah, absolutely. I guess
we will find that out.
Well, this seems like a good way to end our show with a Poke Fact of the Week. We'll dive right into that. So we're continuing our run through the Johto Pokedex. And this week we're to IPOM. Now, IPOM, you know, he's got a hand for a tail. And, you know, I have one goofy fact about him and one absolutely horrifying fact about him. The goofy fact is APOM uses his tail. APOM, yeah, it's APOM, not IPOM. Jesus. APOM uses his tail so much. It actually has poor actual hand dexterity. So, you know, it uses its tail too much. And so when it uses its actual paws, it's not very good with them.
So my question is evolution, from an evolutionary perspective, why hasn't his arms disappeared?
That is a very good question.
Are we going to get an evolution in like a generation or two? And it's like, you know, APOM's direct evolution and they've lost its arms. And it's just a big torso with a tail. like
give us one more evolution where he just goes full on Dr. Octopus.
Yeah, like that's kind of like, I mean, if we're talking evolutionary, you know, changes over many, 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 you know, generations, that's what would happen. And so
that would be actual evolution.
Yeah. I can only expect one day we're just going to get APOM and it's just going to be like his head and it's just going to be his torso, nothing else. And then just a very long tail.
The other fact that, you know, people need to be informed of is APOM is also a monster. APOM, his favorite food is Bonsweet.
Oh, man.
The adorable squirms that you hear when Bonsweet is getting, you know, chewed upon and eaten. That's coming from APOM. Yep, that's right. APOM, that cute, mischievous monkey Pokemon, feasts upon the most innocent of all the Pokemon, Bonsweet, a Pokemon that just can't help that it tastes so good. So just a terrifying, awful creature who, you know, certainly, you know, deserves whatever judgment Arceus passes on it when it passes away.
Yeah, that information comes from the Pokedex entry for Ultra Moon, and it says, quote, "It searches for prey from the tops of trees. When it spots its favorite food, Bonsweet, APOM gets excited and pounces." And so when I read that initially, I was like, prey? He doesn't eat meat. Like, I'm confused, because when I heard red Bonsweet, I just, you know, immediately, because of how Bonsweet looks, I was like, oh, it's just a berry. It's just a berry that is not alive. And then I remembered that Bonsweet is a living organism.
Yeah.
And then I was like, oh no. Horrifying.
It, as it remembers, it runs away. As it runs away, it bounces and it looks super cute. So nobody takes any action. Because they're all like, oh, look at the cute Bonsweet. And then APOM scoops it up and like bites into it. And you see it's like, you know, blood juices, you know, stream down APOM's face as it grins at you, probably while making direct eye contact.
We are peeling back that veneer a little bit too much. Between this information and what we saw of APOM and Detective Pikachu, legitimately one of the most cursed Pokemon.
Definitely, in my opinion. Like a low key, like awful Pokemon. And I don't mean that like, you know, like awful as in a poorly behaved Pokemon.
Yes. Well, there we go.
Anyways, that's all we've got for this episode.
You can sit with that fact for
Like, sit on that for the next week. Leave us those 5-star reviews.
Yes.
But no,
we're just ruining your perspective of Pokemon.
but seriously, if you want to support our show, please leave us a 5-star review on iTunes, Spotify, wherever you get your Pokemon podcasts from, and can leave reviews. It does a lot to help us out. It increases our rank in the algorithms. We have noticed, actually, you know, in terms of like the rankings and stuff, we've actually been increasing lately. So, you know, all the reviews we've been getting really have been a help. And when Jim and Megan do eventually return to the office, Jim is going to spend like an entire week sending out those T-shirts. Because if you leave a 5-star review, you get a T-shirt. You know, D-Day is coming. And by D-Day, I mean T-Day, because it's T-shirt day. So leave those 5-star reviews. If you want to listen to us live, we have our episodes every Monday, 12 p.m. Eastern time. Jim does a whole thing of going through all the time zones. I'm not going to remember all that. So 12 p.m. Eastern time, convert that to whatever time zone you're in. We are live on Twitch. We are live on Facebook. And you can listen to us live, join in our lovely chat community. We do frequently reference those chats when we're doing these episodes. Let's hear what else. Oh, yes. If you want to find us and talk to us on the internet, you can do so by visiting us on Twitter. The podcast is at PokemonPodCB. I'm at CHofferCBus.
You can find myself and my beautiful Pikachu over on Twitter at MeganPeterCB, where I will post so many selfies. So many.
And you can find that lazy bum Jim at Jim Viscardi and yell at him about why he didn't show up for this episode. Anyways, thank you for listening to us. And until next time, keep on training.
Catch you later.